Welcome to the big show.
He could go all
the way. Oh, America, are you serious? It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Serious baby, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. I, of course, am the host with the most, Perry Ellis, and I'm joined here by
the football doc. Just call me Doc.
The doc is in. We are broadcasting live here at Majestic. Actually, that's what they call Ed Calchosa. We are broadcasting live here at a wonderful looking Bobby Lackey Stadium. The place is pretty much half packed, I would say.
I did expect a bigger crowd, to tell you the truth. Being a Saturday night, I think the only game of significance really going on in the Valley tonight.
True. Well, this is the first district matchup for both teams. It's the Ed Calchosa Yellow Jackets versus the Wildcats of Weslaco East. And we went ahead and had the coin toss at the middle of the field, and I didn't quite get to see who was receiving or what as both teams head to their respective inflatables. Did you get to catch that or no?
No, I didn't.
Quite a matchup that's in store for us here as the Ed Calchosa Yellow Jackets are exiting their inflatable. Jackets go ahead and meet there at the 40-yard line. And the Weslaco East Wildcats, having their little intro, are now exiting their inflatable as now the Weslaco side erupts. This is going to be a big ball game for both teams. Both teams enter this matchup at 3-0. And I think that both teams are going to be fired up for this game.
Yeah, they sure are. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be I think it's going to be Weslaco East runs that old school type of offense, so it's going to be a hard hitting, maybe low scoring. It's going to be a hard hitting, nasty game. That's what I think. The big question is: this is kind of Weslaco East's first time ever in this kind of, you know, big game spotlight. While the Jackets have already, they've done it twice already this year alone. So we will see. I think they're going to come up pumped up, that's obvious, but how long will it last?
Well, you know, of course, the Wildcats are still reaming from last year's game, where they felt that they had a legitimate shot at beating the Ed Calchosa Yellow Jackets. Of course, remember that score, because it ended with a 28-21 ending in favorable of Ed Couch.
Yeah, you know, this Weslaco East team historically has been always a tricky game for the Jackets, regardless of the year East has had. I recall back in 03, back in the district championship year, the first district championship year, when it was a 10-6 game in favor of the Jackets, and that was a district championship team, and I think Weslaco East had a very, you know, had a 3-7 record that year, so they're always ready to play the Jackets for some reason.
Well, you know, the Wildcats made history. They made history just two nights ago. For the first time ever, a Weslaco East Wildcat team defeated an Ed Calchosa team in football. The JV for the Wildcats were successful, and I don't remember the score off the top of my head, but it was 8-6 in favor of the Wildcat JV team. So definitely a indication of how Weslaco East has made strides through the years since that initial season and back in 2003.
Yeah, definitely. And that 8-6 score is very indicative of their style. They want a low scoring, run heavy, keep it on the ground, wear you out kind of game. So the more low scoring the game, the better for the Weslaco East Wildcats.
Well, the Wildcats are kicking off to the Yellow Jackets and taking it at the 5-yard line. Number 26, Felix Garcia, with some room, passes the 20, 25 to the 30, one man to beat. Oh. And he is going to be tackled.
Great field position. That's kind of what the Weslaco East Wildcats did not want to happen on the kickoff. The Jackets will have a first down and 10 from the 39, from their own 39-yard line.
And this is going to be, you know, I'm little glad to see our offense take the field first. Definitely want to see what the Wildcat defense has. You know that the Wildcat offense has been able to bring the pain to all their opponents. It's all a matter of what does a Wildcat defense have. And we'll find out shortly.
The plan wanted to really set the tone early and kind of get them, you know, get them doubting themselves. Don't think they have a chance early in this game.
Well, on the first play, it appears to be a handoff. Small gain, maybe about three or two.
Excuse me, I believe it was a keeper by the quarterback.
Oh, was it? There. Okay, yes. Correction.
And that slot T, it's all, you know, it's kind of all this misdirection kind of gets confusing who has the ball sometimes, especially from up here in the press box.
Well, it'll bring up a second down and eight. Ball set at the 41-yard line for the Yellow Jackets.
So the Jackets appear to be coming out in a bunch-type formation to their left.
Toss to Roger Garcia, cuts it, met at the line. Small gain.
About a one-yard gain. It'll be third and long. This is a key. Of course, they're all key downs, but this one especially. Can they get a three and out? How much would that help the confidence of the Westlake East Wildcats?
Indeed, a big defensive stop here. It doesn't mean anything other than for the Wildcats. A big defensive stop here on this possession could give them the energy that they might need, the Wildcats, that is, for their upcoming possession. So they're looking for a big stop. Third and about seven, 42-yard line.
Trying to go to the shotgun for the third down long, as they usually do. They bunch to the left. Motion.
It's an empty backfield, and it's a quick pass. Roger Garcia has some room to run. It's going to be short of the first down.
Yeah, big decision for Coach Solis and the staff. Fourth and one. Near midfield. Do they want to go for it, or are they going to play a field position? It appears they're going to punt, and you know what? I have to say I agree with that call this early in the game.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's 10 minutes and 15 seconds into the remaining in the first quarter. You don't want to take any gambles right here, especially given the style of play that the Wildcats bring in the offensive side of the ball. They're a drive team. But, you want to pin them back and play the game of chess right now.
Right, and they stop on a fourth down here. I stand corrected. They do appear. No, they don't.
No, it's their information.
A stop on a fourth down would give them a huge confidence boost, get the crowd in the game early. That's what you don't want. And the Jackets, with that number one target on your back, five district titles, that old bullseye just keeps getting bigger and bigger by the week. And we all saw on Thursday what happens with USC facing off against Oregon State, that upset.
Well, I do want to let you all know that you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, unofficial website for the Yellow Jackets, eejackets.com, as the fourth down play by the Jackets will be punted. The snap, it's clean. Punt is off. Returned at the 15-yard line with some room. Oh, and there's going to be a face mask penalty. And he's still running. One man to beat. Slows him down, kicker. Wow. Miguel Garcia managed to slow down number 11. I want to say that's Andrew Alvarado, who has a monstrous return, and he pretty much negates the punt as they're going to take over in Yellow Jacket territory at the 40-yard line.
Plus 15 for the face mask.
Exactly.
So they will be at about the 25. This first series, the Wildcats could not have asked for a better outcome. And out and a big punt return to the
red
zone.
It was about
zone.
A 45-yard punt for Miguel Garcia. And it's going to be marked up as a 46-yard return by Andrew Alvarado.
And plus, with the 15 from the face mask, it'll be a net 61 yards.
So the Wildcats starting with excellent field position. And this is the type of thing that I'm sure Ed Calchosa did want it to avoid.
No, but even if they do score here, they've experienced, but they will not, you know, I don't think they'll, you know, press the panic button anytime soon, but the key is the Wildcats will get lots of confidence and will start to believe, and the more team believes, the better their chances to win. We're coming out in a spread formation, I believe, which is kind of a surprise for us. We're expecting this power game, but we shall see what they do.
Well, it's a first and 10 at about the 25-yard line.
Two tight ends.
Handoff. Has some room to run. Brought down by Tony Sanchez, big old Tony Sanchez, number 42. But not before he dies for some extra yards.
You know, and I'm sure the Wildcat coaching staff saw in that PI game how PI's success was straight ahead power running at the Jackets.
Well, so, you know, Westlake is a straight up power running type of team, so I'm sure that was part of their game plan anyways.
And except they're probably bigger and stronger than PI, which will actually be their advantage.
Indeed they are. So Wildcats here with a second and about two from about the 16-yard line. handoff, and that's going to be 6 points for the Wildcats.
Wow, Wildcats off to a dream start. How long will it last? The crowd's into it. Sideline's pumped. We'll see. But the Jackets are you don't become a five-time champion by folding every time something goes wrong.
Wow, the Wildcats had to go 25 yards, and they did it in two plays, and it just seemed too easy.
Sure, it certainly did. It almost is reminiscent of 2 weeks ago, the Jackets' first drive against PI, where they scored in about three or four plays.
By all means, this does not...
Kick appears to be good, and it is.
And we're going to have a penalty flag. It appears to be roughing the kicker.
Oh, boy.
And that was totally unnecessary there, as now the Jackets will be receiving the ball, but that's going to give them an extra 15 yards.
On the kickoff. Wow, that's going to be certainly affect field position for sure.
Well, more than likely, it's I don't know how good the kicker is for the Wildcats, but more than likely, it's probably going to go into the end zone, and they're probably starting off from the 20 as opposed to trying to get a return. But we'll find out here in a bit as the Jackets now take the field, and they find themselves now with a 7-0 deficit here with 8 minutes and 51 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick break. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal action shots of Ed Calchosa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see action shots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. We're back. You're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. District matchup for the Wesco East Wildcats versus the Ed Calchosa Yellow Jackets, and the Wildcats find themselves with a 7-0 advantage. After the penalty, Wildcats kicking from the 45-yard line, and the kick goes through the uprights.
Unfortunately, there's no points for that. This isn't Australian rules football, so.
So it is a touchback, and indeed the Jackets will start at their own 20-yard line. And the complete opposite of what I was expecting. The complete opposite, by all means, it's still early in this game, and nothing's set in stone right now. Yet.
Pivotal series right now on this thing. You know, the Wildcats may be extra aggressive. The Jackets may want to take advantage with some sort of misdirection or reverse kind of play. We'll see what they decide to do.
First and 10 from the 20. Handoff. Roger Garcia met at the line. Has breaks room. One tackle. Breaks two. Around the corner. Has some room to run. And they're going to call him out of bounds.
Wow. He was gone if that went out for that out of bounds.
He was gone. He's gone. But, Ref there on the sideline doing a great job as far as saying that he stepped out, and it is marked at the 30, and it's going to be close to a first down, so it's about a 10-yard pickup, and it is a first down.
You know, on that carry, Roger did seem to have that spring in his step that's kind of been missing from the first three games of the season. And this is a first down.
Of course, here at Bobby Lackey Stadium, wonderful, awesome scoreboard that they have here, as the fans seeing the replay booing the call, but of course you couldn't really see. Justin Gossetis, the fullback, with a uncharacteristic handoff. You don't get too many in a game, but he makes that one count. Picks up close to 5 yards. It'll bring up a second and 5.
It appears the Jackets are going with a power game of their own, it seems, to answer kind of answer that hit in the mouth the Wildcats gave them.
You know, this is two things that I'm expecting the Jackets to really have or to really step up would be the running game by Roger Garcia and the passing game by Eric Nino. As Eric Nino rolls it to the left, keeper has some room. Picks up close to about 15 yards. It'll bring up a first down for the Yellow Jackets. Correction, marked out of bounds at the 46-yard line. Still a first down as the Jackets continue to press. Motion, Nino dropped back to pass. Has some room to run. To the 50, to the 40. Nice little pickup there.
Yeah.
Is it hot in here? You want to open that door back up?
No, I'm fine. That's what noise comes in there.
We're here. We've secluded ourselves here into this press box, even though I don't think we needed to. But maybe I can open up that door. I think we can.
No, we're fine.
Because I know we have these microphones cancel out the sound outside of what we're saying. They have that noise-canceling technology. So, I mean, it's not really the noise that's going to come into play. But anyways, it's the first and 10 from the 4-yard line.
More play action.
Nino hits his receiver. Alex Esteno has some room to run to the 35, to the 25. Still going to the 15. Finally brought down.
And as expected, the Jackets answer like a champion, coming back with ease in their own drive.
You got it. And indeed, this is exactly what I was expecting to see, what I wanted to see. The Jackets passing the ball more, giving the ball to Roger Garcia, and having a lot of success right now in this particular drive doing those two things. Yeah, open that door for us, man. Yeah. First and 10 from about the 14-yard line. Motion, Alex Cisneros. Nino dropping back to pass. Rolls to his right. Has Tanguma. Catches it. He's going to take it in for the touchdown.
Wow, what amazing athleticism there.
You know, he caught that ball about the 3-yard line. And any other guy would have brought down. He was hit hard by two defenders. And he just manages to shake them off and make his way. That's a drive, a desire to be in the end zone.
Yes, he appears to be walking off kind of, I don't know, gimbally, I guess you could say. It doesn't appear to be hurt. It just appears to be kind of walking off gingerly.
Well, looking at the replay, he got one hit, two hits, and then finally takes another three hits before he dives into the end zone.
I think that last hit just may have, you know, given him a little shock to the system and the body. I think he'll be okay. He doesn't appear to be injured at all.
Well, Miguel Garcia lined up to put the point after. The kick is up. It's good. So the Jackets managed to put on a nifty little drive of their own. Traveling 80 yards. Remember, this drive started at the 20-yard line. Traveling 80 yards for the touchdown. And our ball game here with 7:22 left in the first quarter is tied 7 apiece.
Yeah, both offenses, with the exception of that first drive of the Jackets, appeared moving the ball easily. I think we've only seen one third down this first three series of the game.
Well, see, and the thing is, that's why I mentioned at the beginning of the game, I don't doubt the ability of the Wesco East offense. It's the Wesco East defense that's been struggling over the past couple of weeks.
Well,
and
you know,
it's going to be the victory of this game. You know, they say that defense wins champions. It's definitely going to come up to or boil down to whether the Ed Cachos defense can put up a stop. That's what's going to boil down to, because their offense for the Wildcats is what's their bread and butter.
Yeah, well, I noticed when they came out after that big score and everything, the defense, I was expecting to see jumping up and down, whooping and hollering. I didn't see that. I kind of saw a cautious kind of team going out there. And with that, you know, you can't win. If you play to not lose, you lose. You play to win, you win. And that's what really struck me by that series.
Well, the Jackets learning a valuable lesson the hard way. Miguel Garcia with a squib kick takes a big old bounce. The third line of the return team manages to pick it up before it goes any further. But see, that's a smart move there by the special teams coach. I want to say that was Coach Cubano to keep it away from the speedy guys of the Wildcats. And it pays off as the Wildcats take over at the 31-yard line. First and 10.
They're still sticking with that two tight end shotgun formation. I guess they figured it was so successful, they're going to stick with it. We'll see what happens. Another big game.
And we got a helmet on the field. Big old number 62. I want to say that looks like Cat. I don't actually know his name. I remember him from junior high.
They appear to be going no huddle here. This kind of stuff. Was this seen on film? I do not know. Maybe trying to pick up the pace, catch the Jackets off guard.
Well, that particular run play was good enough for a first down, first and 10 for the Wildcats at the 46-yard line. Not quite into Ed Couch territory, but they are now as the shifty number 11 runs with the ball. And he is stripped. Fumble. And
yeah, they appear to have it back. Referee signaling that. But another big game.
And, you know, that's just a classic case there of number 11, Andrew Alvarado, showing why he is leading, or he is one of the leaders in rushing in the Valley, putting the moves, man. Putting the moves. 66. Fortunate the Wildcats are to get the ball back, as they find themselves now with a second and a very short one in Edcott's territory at the 49-yard line. Excuse me, the 44-yard line.
I believe they're going to measure for the first down, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if they're going to measure, I'll go ahead and use this time to take a quick pause. Hear a message from our sponsor, JBR Digital.
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
We're back. Second and a very short one, as it's a toss to Alvarado, and he's got plenty of room to run. Tripped up and still running.
Wow.
And he is just running at will. If the Ed Calchosa defense does not find a way to stop them, this is going to be a very, very long, long game for the Jackets.
You know, when you look at him, he appears, you know, his stature seems so small, but he runs with such power. You would think he was more of a, you think he'd be a cut and dash kind of back, but he's not. He's a power back, which is odd for someone that size.
Well, that pickup will be close to about a 30-yard pickup, as now the Wildcats in the red zone at about the 10-yard line, 10 yards away from the end zone.
They're more familiar power formation now. So this is what we expected to see.
Handoff again to Alvarado, this time met by number 12, Jesse Alomo. It will be, correction, a first and goal from the 10-yard line.
Oh, boy, you know, that's not... You always hate to get that first and goal on the 10-yard line. It's kind of like the worst possible place to get a first and goal.
Well, the handoff for Alvarado, good enough for a 3-yard gain. It'll bring up second and about... second and goal from the 7-yard line.
The run has been so effective. It'll be interesting to see if they decide to go for a play action or stick with the power running.
Toss to Alvarado again to the right. And this time a more characteristic Ed Couch defense stiffening up, and it'll be maybe a yard gain.
Yeah, when the field shrinks as it does in the goal line, the advantage definitely goes to the defense. I wouldn't be surprised to see another one of that gun, but it appears not.
Third and goal from the 6-yard line. A waggle pass, has no room, going to have to scramble. And that's a great job there by number 8, the Wildcat quarterback. Number 53, Paulie Gomez there, looking like he was going to have a sack for about a 10-yard loss. And the quarterback for the Wildcats doing a great job there escaping.
Decision time for the Wildcats, and they appear to be going for the field goal, though I'm not sure of that. The personnel is changing, so I would think it's field goal. I'm not sure how effective their kicker is. I do not have the stats.
That's their...
So we shall see.
They are. It looks like they are setting up for it. It is a fourth and goal from about the 2-yard line. And they are attempting for the kick. It's good.
So the decision pays off for the Wildcats and the coaching staff of Coach Guayad. And they put points on the board.
And, of course, the fans here, not with the right angle, the fans for the Yellow Jackets booing the call as, from my angle, even up here, it looked like it was no good. But, once again, you got that referee right under the post, has an excellent view, calls it good, and it stands. Your score right now with 3:31 left in the first quarter, 10-7, Wildcats with the advantage.
Well, that was, I am impressed so far with the poise of the Wildcat offense answering the answer of the Yellow Jackets. I am impressed. Now I want to see how their D responds. Are they going to come out like last time, kind of a lethargic looking, kind of a cautious, or are they going to come out pumped up, hooping and hollering like we were expecting them to see?
And of course, this is something that's not surprising to me as far as the type of team that the Wildcats are. They're a very emotional team. They play on a lot of on emotions. That bottom line. I mean, for them to score right now is something that the Jackets really want to stop, because you want to get these the Wildcats. You want to keep them down. You don't want anything to fire them up, because it's going to come back to bite you.
Right now, the Jackets scored with ease last drive, so we shall see what happens on this one.
And the Wildcats set to kick off after the field goal. The kick, it's high, will be returned at about the 12-yard line. Felix Garcia with a return. And he is met.
Wow, there's that good coverage. Perhaps they're gaining some confidence now in the Wildcats.
And a flag immediately flies out.
And that may wipe out that great coverage. We shall see.
Well, it came from the back judge. And typically, I mean, it doesn't really suggest anything. I mean, it could be a holding. It could be a block in the back. It could be a face mask.
He appears to be ready to walk in Elsa's direction. Yep, you called it. Block in the back.
So, a good kickoff coverage by the Wildcats is rewarded after a block in the back penalty by the Yellow Jackets, and it pushes them back maybe about 6 yards, as it'll be, or half the distance to the goal line, actually, as it'll be first and 10 from about the 11, maybe the 12-yard line.
The Jackets sticking with their power slot formation have not gone much to the spread this game.
Roger with some room to run, and this is exactly what I wanted to see Roger do. Has a nice run, passes the 30, tackled finally at about the 34-yard line.
Roger,
and that'll
so
be
far,
about a 24-yard run.
In my opinion, having the best game he's had so far, even this early in the first quarter.
And, you know, I think that's a lot of teams, you know, especially the Wildcats, they've seen the Jackets, and for the most part against Cal Allen, against Harlingen, even against PI, it was quarterback Eric Nino. And that's what a lot of teams were focusing on, stopping Roger. As Roger now gets another handoff, has the room to up the corner, passes the 40 to the 45, still going, finally brought out of bounds near the 50-yard line. Yeah, like I was saying, a lot of teams were focusing to stop Roger. And that's why Eric Nino was so effective against those teams. And I have to wonder here if the Wildcats are prepared to stop Nino, our quarterback, and whether, that has opened up more opportunities for Roger.
Yeah, I'm sure they saw that on the Wildcats take a timeout, trying an attempt to regroup.
And let's use that timeout for our own timeout. Do want to remind you that you are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal action shots of Ed Calchosa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see action shots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything Ed Calchosa.
That, of course, is a message from our sponsors, EEJackets.com and JBR Digital. JBR Digital on the field right now taking pictures of tonight's game. Well, first and 10 at the 50-yard line. Eric Nino with the option to the right, pitches it to number 11,
wow.
And he is brought down for a no gain.
That's great run support by the corner there for the Wildcats.
And you know what? I have to say that was a terrible job by the person running with the ball, number 11. It looked like he didn't even try to put a move on. He basically just let himself get shot by the defender.
Well, and a personal foul penalty. Terrible mental error by the Wildcats there. After a great stop, had the Jackets in second and long, and they blow it by committing a really silly penalty.
Yeah, you know, that option man, and I want to say, I'm going to look up his name because I want to say who, want to see who it was. That was Smiley Morales, man. You know what? I'm really disappointed with Smiley because I know he's a lot better athlete like that. And I don't know what the situation was, but when you're in a one-on-one situation, it's the person carrying the ball, I think, has the advantage. And for that defender who's on an island to make an open field tackle like that, either is testament to how good he is or how poor of a running attempt it was. But anyways, the penalty brings up a first down as Roger is given the ball, crosses the 30-yard line.
Is it going to be a fumble? I believe there was a fumble. Wow, I didn't even see that. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
He appeared to get lost in the crowd, and somewhere along the line, I guess he got stripped of the ball. And it's Wildcat ball. Wow, big stop there.
And Roger Garcia there still on the ground, pointing to the ground, pleading with the referees, saying that he was down. But
you see the replay?
It was just one of those.
It appears to be out in the replay, I must say.
It was a fumble?
It appeared in the replay that I saw. Of course, you know, we don't have that slow motion that the colleges do, but from that angle, it did appear to be a good call by the official.
Well, the play stands. In any case, it'll be a first and 10 for the Wildcats, and this first turnover for the Jackets could be critical as they found themselves down 10-7
and they're
here
back
in the first quarter.
To that two tight end shotgun offense that was so successful early in this game.
Hand
has a lane to go. Oh, great job of closing the lane there by, I believe it was either a defensive end or linebacker for the Jackets. He appeared to have a big lane, but it was quickly shut down. I believe 58 of the Jackets, which I would believe would be the defensive end, closed that lane quickly.
What was that a direct snap to?
It was a quarterback keeper direct with a back leading, yes.
It was a quarterback keeper? Or was number? Andrew Alvarado now at quarterback.
Yes, it's kind of that Darren McFadden made famous in Arkansas. It's kind of in vogue now. And it's another big gain for number two. Who is that? Pepe Aguilar, I believe. Sorry.
Correct.
My apologies. Reggie Alaniz. My apologies to the young man.
Ricky Alaniz.
Ricky Alaniz. I'm sorry. With a first down run right down the middle. You know, they appear to be finding success between the tackles, which is kind of where P.I. found some success. And I'm sure they saw that film.
So after the turnover, Wildcats find themselves with a first and 10 at the 42-yard line. Another snap to the quarterback, number 11, and he's just going to take
lane.
It and breaks the corner, has some room to run, and one man to beat, and he's got it. Touchdown.
Wow. Incredible athletic run by that Alvarado. Wow, again, showing that power. I'm impressed with this kid's power for his size. When you see him, like I said, you think he's a cut-slash kind of back, but he has power. He broke several, like three or four arm tackles there, which I thought had him for sure. You know, the Jacket defenders would be better used to use that boundary as a 12th defensive man and just push him out. You know, you can't support from out of bounds.
And it was a simple quarterback keeper. Andrew Alvarado, of course, lined up at the quarterback position, and he just keeps it, runs to the left, gets to the outside, and he was off to the races. And we had two missed tackles on that particular play that Alvarado was able to do a great job breaking through those, and he put six up on the board.
Yeah, that decision by Cuella to go for the field goal early on looks very smart now, as they have a two-score lead now, two-possession lead, as opposed to they hadn't got any points on that drive.
Well, we're still here in the first quarter, and with 1 minute and 8 seconds remaining, and we got a 16-7 ball game here with the Wildcats now up by 9 points.
Well, you know, that was the opposition, but wow, that was an incredible run. You have to give credit to that young man, and an unbelievable run. I thought he was going to be knocked out on the 20, but nobody ever did.
And, of course, the Ed Cochise Yellow Jackets finding themselves here at in a very uncharacteristic situation, down by 9, as they set up for the return here now, at Bobby Lackey Stadium. As the sun goes down, you know, look at that horizon over there, man. It looks pretty neat.
Oh, that's beautiful. Interesting to see how the defense and the Wildcats react from now on. Did they expect to, I don't think they expected to, I'm sure they wanted to have a lead like this early on, but I'm sure they didn't expect it. So how are they going to react? Are they going to play tight, or are they going to continue to go for the kill and keep stay aggressive?
I'm pretty sure they're going to keep going for the kill.
We shall
see. That's the only way that you're going to have any success against Ed Conchelso. And there's the kick. Roger receiving the ball at the 3-yard line. Runs to the side. That's Felix Garcia.
Oh, my goodness. So close. I believe if he gotten past that man, only the kicker was there. And we all know the kicker's history with tackling. All kickers in general, not just
Felix
young man.
Garcia doing a great job there getting through the first line of the kickoff team. And like you said, had two men in his way, and the first one gets him.
Yeah, I think he would have beaten the kicker, as we've seen in many NFL and college games. The kicker one-on-one usually doesn't have a good chance against an athletic returner on the kickoff.
Did you turn those on or what? Nope. Turn them off?
The Jack is not going to a spread formation. We hadn't seen this very much early on. We've only seen it once. Wow. There's that confidence builder that the Wildcats were looking for. The Jackets find themselves behind the chains on second down. Interesting, they switched that spread. We hadn't seen that very much. They had been sticking with that slot, and it seemed to be working well, with the exception that, a fumble stopped that last drive. It wasn't a Wildcat stop, per se. But they are sticking with that spread. Looks to be a pass.
Nino has some...
almost a great circus catch by the... And that's the second headgear I've seen fly off of this game. It's hard-hitting, just as we expected.
And Tanguma standing at 6'5", in a jump ball situation there with a Wildcat defender, and sends the ball hurtling up about 5 yards in the air. Almost comes down with it, but instead falls incomplete and brings up a 3rd and 10 here from the 20-yard line. And the Jackets faltering here as they go through that. They go through the new offensive set and have a little difficulty.
Third and long, and they're in a trips right. Oh, empty now. They motion to empty. Interesting. Could be a quarterback draw. We shall see. Got a man wide open. Is it caught?
Bit of confusion there.
It is caught. The site judge is ruling a catch, and he appears to have that final say.
And with the tackle, Smiley Morales redeeming himself, coming up with a big catch, bringing the Jackets to the 42-yard line. It'll be chalked up as a 22-yard reception.
And this should mark the end of the first quarter.
Go ahead and flash the scoreboard there on the video.
It appears to be a catch from this angle.
And like we said, that's the end of the first quarter.
Wow, a kind of a surprise. I mean, we expected the Wildcats to put up a fight, but not this big of a fight so early on. And to have a 9.82 possession lead this early, wow. They must be flying high over there. Can they keep it up? That is the question. Or will they wilt under the pressure and the bright spotlight of the situation?
Well, we're set to start the second quarter.
And they are sticking the Jackets with a spread formation.
1st and 10 from the 42-yard line. Nino dropbacks the pass. Has Alex Cisneto wide open. Crosses the 40-yard line into Wildcat territory.
Wow, the Wildcats seem to be playing a zone, and the Jackets receiver is just finding that big seam in there. You have to wonder if one of them the free safety may jump one of those routes coming up pretty soon.
Another big reception there for the Yellow Jackets. This was going to be marked up as a 21-yard reception for Alex Cisneros. And those receivers are just wide open.
Yeah, they're finding that seam in that zone. The Wildcats playing kind of a loose zone, and the Jackets receivers finding and Eric Nino connecting on those seams, the seam routes.
1st and 10 from about the 42-yard line. Nino again back to pass. Hits number 12. Jesse Halomo puts a move and is close to the first down marker.
Well, you know, you think of the Wildcats are going to... may think about bringing some pressure because those four men are not getting to Nino in time. and the Wildcats call a timeout to regroup. And the last time they did this, they came up with a stop on the turnover. So we shall see what the result of this one is.
Do want to welcome you, those of you that are just tuning in. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, the district matchup between the Ed Calchosa Yellow Jackets and the West Laquise Wildcats here in the second quarter with 11 minutes and 33 seconds remaining. Your score, 16-7 in favor of the Wildcats. Well, we'll take a quick pause for the cause. Once again, you're listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Calchosa.
Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. Ed Couch knocking on the door at the 26-yard line here. Two huge pass completions for quarterback Eric Nino. And Coach Solis having some success there with that spread formation. Continues to press and press.
The Wildcats appear to be kind of on a bump and run coverage now. That must have been the reason for the timeout, the change coverage.
And there's the draw. Quarterback Eric Nino keeping it past the 20 to the 10 to the 5. Finally brought down at the 2-yard line. And I think you mentioned that earlier, that quarterback draw.
Yes, well, the Wildcats appeared after that to switch to a man form, man coverage. And, of course, man coverage, everybody knows the middle of the field is wide open. And with an athletic quarterback like Nino, that's big trouble for your defense.
Great job there by the Yellow Jackets adjusting to the adjustment made by the Wildcats, as they now have a first and goal at the 2-yard line, and we're back to that close formation set. As Nino's going to keep it on the option, and he's going to punch it in.
Touchdown.
Wait, no, there's a bit of hesitation, and finally the referee calls it. It's official. Touchdown, quarterback Eric Nino. And once again, we see another almost effortless drive by the offense to put points up on the defense. And if this continues the way it does, it's going to be a, like you said earlier, a high scoring game.
Yeah, interesting. If you like hard-nosed defense, you came to the wrong game.
Well, the big surprise for me has been the Ed Calchosa defense. And I still believe that they are the pillar of this team. And I'm expecting some huge adjustments to be made.
And the kick is good.
And we got a flag down coming from the back. Usually that's related to a holding. And we'll wait to see what the zebra says.
It appears to be on a kickoff, it appears like, as everyone seems to be going to their respective sidelines.
A defensive penalty, personal foul, running into the kicker. And you are right, it will be assessed on the kickoff. Well, let's take this opportunity to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor, JBR Digital.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal snapshots of Ed Calchosa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see snapshots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
We are back. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. And, of course, Westlake playing that one of those classic scenes from the Rudy movie, and sent both sides erupting. Westlake cheering.
It appeared to fire up the wrong crowd in the Wildcats' eyes.
Well, the Westlake side was cheering, and, of course, the Ed Cal side was booing. The famous lines that, what does the coach say from Notre Dame?
This is our house. Nobody pushes us around in our house.
And of course, the Yellow Jackets, who after the penalty will be kicking off at the 45-yard line, and Miguel Garcia sends that one out of bounds, and the Wildcats will take over at the 20-yard line. You know, in a situation like that, it makes very little sense to me. These guys must. You know, it makes very little sense to me there as far as why you'd want to kick it out of the end zone.
Seems like a good chance for a pooch kick or some kind of squib. Hopefully get a good bounce. You're right back in business.
Well, then again, you know what? Given the type of returners that the Wildcats have, it may be a smart move.
We'll see how they answer the answer to the answer. I believe there's only been one punt in the whole game, which that was the first series by the Jackets. They are sticking with that formation is getting them so much success.
Well, it'll be a first and 10 for the Wildcats at the 20-yard line. And number two, the original quarterback, back in for the Wildcats, and it's a quarterback keeper, but he just doesn't have that illustrious speed that number 11 for the Wildcats had, as he's immediately tackled close to the line of scrimmage.
You know, that video seemed to have woken up the Jacket fans now, who are kind of lethargic. Versus that video, they've been pumping up and cheering every good Jacket play. They may want to, reconsider playing that video again.
And a lot of Jacket fans here on their feet, chanting defense. Love to see the Jackets come up with a big defensive stance here, as after the ball is spotted, it will be a 1 yard gain, second and 9 at the 21 yard line for the Wildcats. Andrew Alvarado with the ball to the left, and he is stuffed. Once again, the crowd fired up on their feet as the Jackets come up with another good play, stringing out Alvarado, and it'll probably be another 1 yard gain. It'll bring up third and 8.
You know, it appears to be the same series of plays that worked successfully, but, you know, a great team like the Jackets are eventually going to adjust, and you got to be more creative to beat a team like this.
Yeah, that might work in junior high or the lower levels. You know, running the same play over and over and over, and you'll dominate a team because they won't make those adjustments. But here with the big boys, you're going to have to adjust if you expect to win. Third and 8, rolled out to pass, has the receiver open, hits him, complete. First down, Wildcats.
Wow, key first down for the Wildcats.
Wow. And pretty much overloaded the right side of the field. Had a receiver in the flats, had a receiver in the middle, and a receiver deep. And opts for the deep receiver, picks up a nice, close to about 15-yard gain. It'll bring up a first and 10 from the 38-yard line.
The starting quarterback, number 8, is now in for the Wildcats. So maybe a change in philosophy here.
Handoff to number 2 up the middle.
Wow, that shaky handoff. They were very close to fumbling that handoff.
And you know, I do want to give some props to number 2 there, as he had about 3 defenders on him, and he just keeps moving his feet, pumping his feet, and just drives him about 3 or 4 yards. And instead of maybe being a 2-yard gain, which is what it should have probably been had they made the tackle at the point of that they were supposed to, turns up to be close to about a 6-yard gain, and it'll bring up a 2nd and 4 for the Wildcats. And the Wildcats still with that no-huddle offense.
Yeah, they're going now to more a power, which is what we expected them. A power eye, looks like. Haven't seen that in a while.
Hand out to Alvarado again.
And another first down. Again, though, another shaky handoff there. I wonder what is the reason for that.
And you know, it's their Wildcats doing a tremendous job, just closing up the outside of the Jacket defense. There, I saw the lead back. I'm not sure if it was a linebacker, an edge linebacker, or if it was the end, but just did a tremendous job of blocking him in, sealing him in,
yes,
just opening up the outside for 11.
They're sealing that outside very well. They're kind of crashing it down and seeing it up, as you were alluding to.
And of course, it's very critical to maintain that outside contain there if you expect to stop the Wildcats. Once again, toss to the outside, this time to the left. Has to cut it up inside as number 18 for the Yellow Jackets. Does a great job. Number 18, of course, being Isaac Prado, stepping up and forcing Alvarado back in the inside, where he is tackled for maybe about a 2-yard gain.
Yeah, the Wildcats attempting a change of pace, going with a traditional I formation, getting away from that spread thing that has worked well early, but the Jackets were seemingly adjusting to, so they switched gears to their more traditional bread-and-butter offense.
Well, the Wildcats now in Yellow Jacket territory as they're driving the ball, 8:20 remaining in the second quarter.
And just as I say that, they go back to a spread ace.
Oh,
big game. Wow, again, he could. It's going to be close. And it's a touchdown. Number 11 again.
Actually, no, number 12. Number 12, Jesse Halomo there with an opportunity to stuff the running back for a huge loss. And just he misses the tackle completely. And Alvarado pretty much to the races outruns the other Yellow Jacket defenders and takes it close to about 42 yards for the touchdown.
Well, I tell you, in the paper this week, the backs and the offensive line of the Wildcats were talking big in the paper, but you know what? They're coming and they're backing it up so far with their performance.
You know, I don't know if you're making reference to, of course, quarterback for the Porter Cowboys, who did something similar, was talking in the papers, and of course, unfortunately, was unable to back it up as Porter ends up losing their game to Pace.
Right, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I've only seen the Wildcats attempt two passes. And one, he tucked away and run. And two, was a completion here, a key completion on a third down, which kept his drive alive.
Well, when you're having that kind of success with the run, there's absolutely no need to go to the pass. Why change it up?
Agreed.
As the touchdown for the Wildcats gives them now a 22-14 advantage, as apparently Wildcats call a timeout. And they're probably going to go for two here.
They appear to be kicking now, and I agree with this decision. A extra point makes it a two-score game. You miss a two-point conversion, you are a touchdown and two-point conversion away from being tied. So I do agree with this call by the East staff.
The kick is up.
And it is good.
It's a
two-score game. You know, also credit the East staff by making smart decisions and not letting the emotion of the game affect their decisions. You know, go for two when you don't have to. Go for the touchdown on a fourth and goal when you don't have to. I'm impressed with the poise by both their players and the staff, who are probably in this situation for the first time in a long time. Plenty of time to go, and there is already 37 points on the board combined. If you bet under 70, you may want to retract that bet. I see the track here, and it appears that the track doesn't end on the outside. It appears the track meet is continuing right on the field.
Well, as the Wildcats prepare to set themselves up on the field, we'll use this opportunity to take a quick pause and hear a word from our sponsor.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal action shots of Ed Calchelsa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see action shots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
And the kick! Number 32, Roger Garcia with a return. Going sideline to sideline. And he's going to be tackled about the 15, 16 yard line. And he runs about 40 yards there. But unfortunately, it's only about a 10 yard return.
Some of the crowd asking for a face mask. I could not see. We'll check the replay here. But there was no call. Either way, there's no call. So,
you know, and Roger there with a return running along the 5 yard line for about 20 of those yards. And narrowly avoids two tackles as comes dangerously close to a tackle.
Jack is sticking with the spread. And Neil, oh. Well, he was called in the grass. Many of the fans disagree. Where's the ball? I have no idea where the ball is. Oh, yes, he did keep the ball. Again, that was a focus. It was kind of that zone read fake that all his teams run. It seems that they didn't even bite on the back. Even as great a back as Roger is, the focus seemed to be right on Nino. Nobody bought the fake. And somebody is down for the Jackets. I do not know who. Did you happen to catch the number?
No, I didn't. Well, we'll take this opportunity to take a quick pause to the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
Baseball, football, basketball, soccer,
Even if we had swimming or underwater basket weaving, we would cover it on EEJackets.com.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Couchelsa.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it, move it. All girls all over the world. Original King Julian for the case, man. I love how all the girls move their body. And when you move your body...
Bring up a second down play here, and after the quarterback sack, Jackets now at the 6-yard line, second and close to about 17. As a shot or trips formation, Nino plenty of time to throw, decides to scramble, and has Tanguma wide open, but it's underthrown pass. Oh man!
Wow, great recovery there by number 10. Tanguma was wide open, the ball a little underthrown, but it's kind of expect that. That was about a 60-yard pass in the air, which for a high school kid is just remarkable.
Yeah, on the run, mind you. But yes. You know what? If you would have been able to hit that 70-yard pass, because Tanguma was wide open deep, and yes. Unfortunately, the ball just didn't have enough to get there. I mean, like you said, it traveled close to 50, 60 yards in the air.
And I believe, judging by the flag, it was into the wind. That may have caused that little kind of a dead bird effect, that kind of... But it's, nevertheless, it reached the 50, but the stall allowed the defender to come back and break up the play. Third and very long here for the Yellow Jackets. They are motioning to a trips formation.
Wildcats only sending four. Nino having to scramble. Finally airs it out. Oh, has a wide open receiver.
Wow, busted coverage by the Wildcats, to say the least.
And once again, a very similar situation. This time it was number 11, Smitey Morales, coming up with a big catch. He was just standing there by himself at the 50-yard line.
The same pass
that he threw earlier to the Tanguma, 50, 60-yard pass, because he's about 2 yards, 3 yards deep in the end zone.
A remarkable arm strength and accuracy at that.
And, you know, he was just kind of sitting there waiting for it to get there as the Wildcat defenders were quickly trying to recover. And they're able to recover in time and make the tackle. So the ball now, it stands exactly at the 50-yard line. First and 10 for the Yellow Jackets. A big, big break for the Jackets. Spread formation. Trips to the left. Number 12, Jesse Haloma with a big catch.
Wow, dangerous pass. All kind of black jerseys there. But he threaded the needle and found the open man.
It'll be chalked up as a 13-yard gain. First and 10 now at the 36-yard line.
Well, given the D struggles tonight, how big was that conversion there from their own end zone?
Very, 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 very big. Because, you know, even at that point, they would be punting against the wind, and East would have had excellent field position.
Exactly.
Well, nonetheless, Jackets retain possession, have another first down at the 36-yard line. First and 10. Nino appears to be making some adjustments.
Perhaps reading on the coverage. They bring coming, about five or
yeah,
six.
Yeah, bring in with a blitz. And has to just get rid of the ball.
Wow, and a hit on Nino, a legal hit. It they didn't sack him, but that hits like that eventually take their toll and register on a quarterback's body. You figure the Wildcats had success with that blitz. Will they go back to that well?
Do want to welcome those just tuning in. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio. The Wildcats finding themselves up 23-14 on the Jackets as Nino breaks through the middle, keeps his feet, passes the 30 to the 25, finally brought down at about the 23-yard line, and it's good enough for a first down. About an 11-yard run there?
About an 11-yard run. You figure the coaches have to win every time you see a quarterback take hits like that.
He just managed to just scrape through somehow through the interior part of that offense defensive line and worked his way through the linebackers, finally brought down in the secondary or by the secondary. First and 10 from the 23-yard line. Shotgun quarterback keeper. Up once again up the middle, and he's just using a little bit of razzle dazzle there, and he gets to the 10-yard line, and it's going to be another first down.
That time they did bite on the fake. Don't know why. You can see the tackling the ballless defender there. And another big gain by Nino, as he has so often when the chips are down, he is coming through for the Jackets again, making plays with his arm and with his legs.
First and 10 from the close to the 10-yard line. Roger Garcia with a ball. He's dragging people. Finally brought down at the 1-yard line. And he was met close to about the 6-yard line by a couple Wildcat defenders. And he's just spinning away around and dragging people as he pushes his way all the way down to the 1-yard line. And it'll be second and one. Actually, second and about a foot or two, because they can still get that first down. It's one of those crazy situations. You see that there? Yeah. If they move the ball 6 inches, they get a... Actually, no, they're going to measure right now for the first down.
Well, barring absolute disaster, I do expect to see a touchdown either this play or the next. Being so close.
Oh, man, that's going to be an inch. Oh, wow.
You figure we may actually see a sneak here of some kind, or a fullback dive, although the athlete like Nino, you figure the quarterback sneak was probably what they'll dial up.
Well, the ball is close to about the 1-yard line, and they need about an inch for the first down. Now, plenty of downs still to work with as the Yellow Jackets now have second and inches from the 1-yard line.
Probably like second in the link of the chain, it looks like, by that measurement.
And Jacket fan asking for the time. It's 5 minutes and 15 seconds here remaining in the second quarter. We'll get a shot of the scoreboard in a little bit so that way you can check it out. Hopefully the Jackets can put the ball in the end zone here.
To four to bat that ball in there. And that is the call, and it is successful.
Touchdown. And number four, Justin Garcia, the fullback, with his second touchdown of the season. He's proven to be that short yardage guy that the Jackets usually go to in these kind of situations. I want to say last year it was... do we have a short yardage guy last year? I know 2 years ago it was DJ DJ Robinson.
It was Anthony Gonzalez.
Anthony Gonzalez.
Fullback number 3, I think, was his number or something.
My memory eludes me. But nonetheless,
I'm not sure that's his name, but he was our short yardage kind of...
Well, nonetheless, the Jackets... That's DJ Robinson, isn't it? Okay. Well, there is a Ed Couch timeout here with a point after, and you have to wonder what the Jackets are going to do here. The score is right now 23-20, and we'll use this as an opportunity to take a timeout of our own. Oh, hey, thanks, Amnova. Yeah, that's Amnova over there telling us who. What the name of the guy was. It was...
Anthony Perez, not Gonzalez.
Anthony Young Perez. Thank you, Amnova. You are absolutely correct. It was Anthony Young Perez who was the power back for the Jackets last year. Gosh, I can't believe I couldn't remember that.
I was surprised you couldn't remember that.
Well, in any case, they are going to go ahead and attempt the PAT as Miguel Garcia sets up.
And this is a good call as well.
Yeah, and there's no point right now. You're down by 3. If you go for that 2 and you don't make it, at least you go for the 1, you'll put yourself with a field goal, you'll possibly be up. You don't understand what I mean?
Yes.
You'll only be down by 2 instead of being down by 3. And the kick is up. It's good. And go ahead and flash that scoreboard real close. Get a close-up shot. Try to get a little bit closer. Well, we'll use this to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
An ordinary day, an ordinary family's living room filled with an ordinary bunch of kids, and they were doing nothing, when suddenly...
That's a personal foul. Inactive activity on a sunny day.
Coming to the rescue was NFL running back Reggie Bush.
Let's play. Yeah!
And play they did. There was running and jumping, and laziness was crushed.
Hey, kids, don't get a lazy penalty.
Go online to smallstep.gov for fun playtime ideas.
So you can be a player, too.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
do want to remind you that JBR Digital Imaging is our sponsor of tonight's ballgame. He's the one that provides us with all those great images of the Ed Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets. By all means, if you have photography needs, please contact him. And I'll provide his phone number in a little bit. As the Jackets kick the ball off, returned at the 25-yard line and met by a storm of Yellow Jackets. It'll probably be about a 4-yard return. And getting the phone number there of our sponsor, JBR Digital. It's George E. Sines, class of 1976. And does a great work as far as providing photography for the Yellow Jackets. That's cell number is 499-6374. Once again, JBR Digital Imaging. Well, the Wildcats take over at the 28-yard line, first and 10. And we'll look for the Jacket defense to step up big here.
They appear to be calling a run blitz, it appears. I don't know if they're going to... The quarterback may be audibling.
Oh. And, you know, you hate to see something like that. It was number 12, Jesse Halomo, that's on a safety blitz. And Uh-oh. He manages to get through the...
A flag. It may be a personal foul on whom I'm not sure. The Jacket and Wildcat were kind of extracurriculars. I don't know who side is going to go against, though.
Well, just going back to what I was saying, number 12, Jesse Halomo there on a safety blitz, and he manages to get through the line untouched, but unable to loop around the corner as he was blitzing from the opposite side of the handoff, and dives to make that tackle, but can't. And the thing is, when you send that safety, you know, now you don't have anyone back there in coverage.
Wow, big penalty against the Wildcats.
Didn't quite get to see what exactly the penalty was about, you know, and I have to wonder if this is you know, they're throwing these penalty flags out here pretty quick because of what happened in the Mission Mercedes game. Did you hear about that?
No, what happened there?
Apparently fights were breaking out and all kinds of things. Wow. I don't actually have the full story of what happened, so I don't want to go on the record, but there were fights of some sort between players and coaches and all kinds of pandemonium breaking out there. And I'm sure the refs want to keep control of today's ball game here. Well, it's a first and
the fullback with a big gain. Fullback dive. Great fake by the quarterback there. A lot of people uncertain for the ball, including myself, where the ball
and,
was.
And hold on here. There's a bit of confusion. The coaches from the Ed Cal Chelsea side are saying they moved the chains. It was a penalty.
Well, but the thing was, it was a dead ball and a first down. On a dead ball penalty, it is assessed after the play, and the yardage remains the same.
Okay.
A little rule book there for you, but yes. The 15 yards were assessed, but it remains first and 10.
I see.
And the coach on the field, running the risk of getting a flag himself, hopefully, thankfully, cooler heads prevail, and the situation seems to be settled. Thankfully, with no...
It may be settled here in the booth with us, but it's not settled by the fans as they erupt in a series of boos. But nonetheless, it'll be a second and short as it was a 9-yard gain by the Wildcats. And we have that toss again to Alvarado. And this time, he is met at the line, but he makes his way for positive yards, and it'll be a first down.
The Jackets appear to be calling more blitzes, run blitzes, it appears. And we'll have to see if Wesico has the chops to pass on those or take advantage of that. We'll see. If not, the game, while Wesico is still driving, the gains do seem to be a lot smaller than they were earlier in the game.
Well, it is a first down indeed. They are at the 30. The Wildcats at the 38-yard line, first and 10. In that pro set formation, handoff up the middle to the fullback, and he's working his way for close to about 4 yards, maybe five.
You know, the Wildcat seem to be slowing the tempo. You have to wonder, looking at the clock, they want to score and run out the clock, not give the Jackets the chance to answer, knowing that they will receive in the second half. So if they were to somehow score and run out the clock, that would give them in this back and forth game, a one score edge. That appears to be a strategy, though I am not on their staff, so I do not want to speculate for them, but that appears to be what they're doing.
Well, it's a second and about six from the 42-yard line for the Wildcats. And there's that toss again to the left. And again, Alvarado met at the line, and there's a scramble for the ball. They're calling a fumble.
But they do appear to have the ball again.
And
the referee said third down.
They're saying that he was down. And judging based on the marking, maybe about a 2-yard pickup as the Wildcats have third and about four from the 44-yard line.
Wow, how big is this down coming up right here?
Well, with 2 minutes and 28 seconds and counting remaining in the half, 23-21, this is a big, big play for the Jackets because this is plenty. If they can get a stop here, they have plenty of time on the clock to make a run for some points of their own. Third and four. Shotgun formation. And it's Alvarado going to keep it, and he's going to be stuffed. Met at the line immediately. But you know, you notice what he does is even though he's met at the line, he still bulldozes his way for maybe a yard, maybe 2 yards. It'll bring up a fourth down and three.
I am very surprised the Jaguars are not calling a timeout to save some of this clock. The clock continues to tick away, under 2 minutes now. And the play clock is still at 18. I'm very surprised they're not calling a timeout with two remaining. Unless they are content to go in down by two. But I wonder. It makes me wonder.
And the Wildcats.
Well, no timeout.
Setting up.
A fake. My goodness. Wow.
Unbelievable call there by the Wildcats. And you know what? I have to question. Well, you know what? Maybe that was a smart move. They wanted to keep possession of the ball. So they go for the fake. And they come up short on the fake punt attempt.
I don't know about that. I would have put.
The way the Jacket offense has been scoring, with a minute and a half, they probably would have been able to put it in from 70 yards out. They were able to do it in the previous score. I guess that's what Coach Guerra there for the Wildcats was thinking. But instead, it comes out to be a costly mistake here as the Jackets take over in Wildcat territory. First and 10 from the 45. Nino driving back to pass. Has receiver wide open. Number 11, Smiley Morales. And you know, ever since he made that initial play on that option, or that mistake on that option, Smiley Morales has redeemed himself three times fold as he's come up with big catches the last, three times that the ball's been thrown to him. And that one's good enough for a first down. It'll be about an 11-yard reception. First and 10 from the 34-yard line. Nino again back to pass. Astanguma open, but decides to keep it. He runs, passes the 30, meets one defender, passes the 25. Brought down close to the 23-yard line. And 56 seconds remaining here in the second quarter. All the fans here in Bobby Lackey Stadium up on their feet as the Jackets could potentially score here and find themselves up before the half. First and 10 from the 22. Nino driving back to pass. Avoids one defender. Sacks ends up throwing up the ball, and that might be picked off.
Caught for my minimal gain.
Wow, I have to question that throw by quarterback Eric Nino. That was not a smart move at all.
He definitely got away with one there.
Well, Alex Cisneros jump balls there, comes down with a reception, and he picks up maybe 2 yards there. So it was a positive play, but those are very, very risky 2-yard play there. But the Jackets do come up with the reception, and it'll bring up a second and about 8 from the 20-yard line, 20 yards away from the end zone with 40 seconds remaining in the second quarter. Nino in the shotgun. Back to pass. It's that draw again, and this time he is met at the line.
Well, with two timeouts, it's actually a pretty safe call with two timeouts in your pocket before the half. So I'm sure they're using one right now, and they do.
And I'm sure Solis, with the fact that we have a pretty good kicker in Miguel Garcia, is not shying away from going for that field goal if need be.
Wow, I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but I'm going back to that fake. I do not understand that fake punt call at all. You are.
And part of the problem was that the clock was rolling down. So they had to snap the ball with like 2 seconds on the clock.
Well, you know, you have the lead
on the play clock
against the number one team in the Valley. Your offense has been playing great. You're receiving in the second half. I don't understand that at all. I do not see any benefit of that at all.
Crowd erupting there is on the West Laco scoreboard. Tim Smith giving us his forecast for tonight's game, and the crowd, I can't even hear Tim Smith anymore because the crowd is just going crazy over here. Let's take a shot here at the scoreboard.
It's going to be a lot of glare.
Third and about four from the 15-yard line. It's an option. Nino fakes it. Fakes out one defender. Breaks one tackle. Keeps going. And finally brought out of bounds. And they're going to mark it at the five, right? Yep, at the five-yard line.
All right.
And that is good enough for a Yellow Jacket first down. 25 seconds remaining. Be first and goal from the five. One of our listeners out there wants to send a shout out to her sister, Mati and Marisol, or her sisters, also to her nieces, Vanessa and Rachel. First and goal from the five. Nino with the pass. Oh, just a little underthrown.
Dangerous pass, though, from the right hash mark to the left wide side of the field. Although I do believe he has the arm strength to make that.
You know, it's a very difficult pass because it's at that angle.
And he's running
that route in the flats, and it's got to be a very well-placed pass in order to complete that.
You also run the risk of the defender cutting in front and taking it the other way for six.
You're right. If he does cut it and pick it, there's nobody going to stop him. But in any case, with 21 seconds now on the clock, second and five, and you know the Jackets are going to probably run the ball at one point or another. But not this time, as Tanguma with the touchdown. Number 14, Artie Tanguma, with a huge touchdown reception from quarterback Eric Nino, 5 yards in the end zone. Jackets now up 27-23 here in the second quarter. What do you think about that one?
That's the money man in the red zone. Tanguma has been there. All he does is catch touchdowns.
And with 17 seconds remaining in the second quarter, Miguel Garcia lined up for the PAT. The kick is up, and it is good. Your score with 17 seconds remaining in the second quarter, 28-23, Yellow Jackets.
Wow, I'm sorry. I still cannot believe that call from way back.
The punt?
They score with 17 seconds left. Could they have traveled the extra 30, 40 yards in those 17 seconds that they didn't have to, thanks to that botch call?
Maybe not. But you know what? That is a critical call that Cuellar made, and Coach Cuellar for the Wildcats. And right now, you're right. It's biting them in the ass.
If they go on to lose this game, that call is going to haunt this team, I'd say, for at least the rest of the season. Who knows how much longer than that.
And I'm sure the Jackets at all costs are going to avoid kicking it to the two men that are deep. And indeed, is it a squib kick? Gets to the third line of defense, number 32 for the Wildcats. And he has some room. But he is finally brought down by number 18, Isaac Prado.
We are certainly in a Hail Mary situation, but I do not believe it. They're in range for it to actually reach the end zone. They may just.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, they're at the 40
yeah,
yard line.
That's a 70-yard pass in the air. I don't think we'll see that.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know how. I'm not sure what the quarterback's name for the Wildcats is, but I don't think he has that kind of reach. 40 yards. I'm sorry, 65 yards. The ball's at the 35. So it'd be a 65-yard pass.
I believe we're just seeing a handoff or not some kind of hook and ladder.
Well, you know what? With a handoff, he's just as dangerous. The way Alvarado's been scoring, something as simple as that could be something dangerous here. As he breaks one tackle and is close to breaking two. And
out of timeouts, that should be the last play of the half.
I'm sure all the fans right here are holding their breaths, but a sigh of relief as the clock runs out and the Wildcats content going down into the booth, or excuse me, into the locker room, down by four. Your score, 28-23 at the half in favor of the Wildcats. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
McGruff here.
I think I'm going to need your help. I've got an internet bully.
Okay, well, what you do is...
Maybe you could put a virus on her computer.
You don't have to do that, are you?
Or maybe we could get an attack dog.
Wait. All you need to do to stop an internet bully is delete their messages and never forward them on.
Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it. Don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.